I spent about 12 years in the seminary before I was ordained. The first 8 years of my seminary life, I could not wait to get into my theology program. The reason was that I really loved God, and I really wanted to know God. And of course, theology is when you learn all about God. Before that, it's philosophy, and you do your undergrad, and I said to myself, who needs all that stuff? Just give me theology. Isn't that enough for priesthood? Of course, later I realized why it's all important, right? In any case, have you seen a two-year-old kid waiting at the side of a puddle, just wanting to jump in, right? When theology started, I jumped into theology like a little kid jumping into a puddle. I was excited. But then you realize something, a puddle is only so deep. And that was what my theology program was like. I was so hungry for God. I had so many questions for God. But all my quest and my desire to know God led me only thus far. I would often ask my theology professors questions about God, and they would give me the most irritating answer I ever wanted to hear. They would say, it's all a mystery. And if I heard that term, it's all a mystery, one more time, I would scream. Today we celebrate the feast of the Most Holy Trinity, and even as I begin this homily, let me warn you, I'm most probably going to end this homily with the words, it is all a mystery. But that's not where I want to start. Yes, God is mystery. There's so much we can know about God. But I want to begin with what we know about God. All of us know something about God. And that's a good starting point. I want to begin with the first reading where Moses talks about God. And the question that Moses asks is a couple of rhetorical questions. He says, have we heard of anything greater than this? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation? Now, these are rhetorical questions, and Moses has an answer. Moses' answer is, our God is not some far distant God, but our God is close to us. God has spoken with us. God guides us. God leads us. God redeems us. So Moses begins talking to the people in the language that they know about God, even though God is mystery. And here's the most important thing. What Moses told the people about God is what he undoubtedly knew about God. He knew that for a fact. So, with or without theology, all of us have some knowledge of God. For me personally, the only way to describe God is God is just pure love. And honestly, if it comes to the bottom line, that's all I want to know, that's all I care to know. If I knew nothing more about God, I would be okay. So I look at the crucifix, for example, and I see what pure love is all about, and that God is this kind of love. And I know that for sure. So even though I look at God and I look at the crucifix and I see God as pure love, I know in my heart that God is much more than that. God is a lot more than what the crucifix tells us. So our knowledge of God and what we don't know about God is always going to have this balance. The more I come to know God, the more I realize that there's so much more to know. And that is why we call God a mystery. So, keeping that balance, what I know about God and what I do not yet know, let me just offer 3 points for us to reflect upon. And there are some questions that I'm going to raise, and hopefully in the coming week, these questions can be part of your prayer. So I'm going back to Moses in my first point, what we do know about God and how do we know what we know about God. Please remember that Moses, when he was talking to the people about God and asking those rhetorical questions, remember, he did not have the Bible in his hand. Today, you and I have a Bible in our hand. Hey, who is God? Let's read the Bible. Moses did not have that. All he had was 2 tablets, 10 commandments, that's all he had. But see how he talks to the people about God. From his conversation with the people, you realize that his experience and knowledge of God came from a very personal encounter. He knew that God was close, and he's able to talk to the people as God being close because he experienced the closeness of God. So in other words, it's because of Moses' close encounter with God that Moses is able to talk about the closeness of God. Now you have a similar statement in Matthew. Matthew says, at the end of his gospel, he says, "And I am with you till the end of the age." Just like Moses experienced God as close, Matthew experienced God as somebody close. I am with you till the end of the age. So here are my couple of questions that I want you to think about during this week. What is it that you know about God? What is it that, like Moses, you undoubtedly know? If somebody said to you, "I'm going to kill you for this," what is it that you would still completely believe about God? What is it? And where does that knowledge come from? Is it because it's stated in the Bible or somebody told you? Or like Moses, can it be that, no, I have encountered this God. I know my God. I have felt the closeness of God. From your own experience of God, what is it that you undoubtedly are convinced? If a little child came to you, or somebody who's an unbeliever came to you and said, "Tell me about God," what would you say? That's a good question for us to think about. So keep these questions at the back of your mind this coming week. In my second point, I want to talk about what our knowledge of God does to us. What does it do for us? The absolutely surprising element in today's feast is that our effort to know God does not just reveal who God is, but also reveals who we are. So yes, God is Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to us? How does it affect us? So here's my answer to that question. And I'm drawing that answer from today's second reading from Romans. Paul says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Paul is saying something about us, not just about God. Yes, God is Trinity, but who are we? We are the children of God. The fact that we are children of God is only revealed because we know God as Father, as Son, and as the Holy Spirit. See, if God was not Father, could we be children? No. If Jesus was not Son, could we be sons and daughters? No. So thank God for what we know about God, because what we know about God tells us about who we are. So here's what I believe. The more we come to experience and know God, the more we come to know ourselves. In fact, it is only in our relation to God that we know who we truly are. So, a few more questions for us to think about. What do you and I know about ourselves? What do you know about yourself? Who are you? Where does that answer come from? What is your identity? Just like you believe certain things about God to be absolutely true, what is it that you believe about yourself to be absolutely true? My personal answer to this question, who am I, my identity, is discipleship. If somebody asks me, Satish, who are you? My instinctive answer is, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My identity comes from who God is for me. My answer is always Christian discipleship. And I believe that a meaningful life is a life in which my knowledge about God gets played out in how I live my own life and what that reveals about God. So I don't know what your name is. If what's your name?
Kathy.
If somebody says to Kathy, I know God because of you, then that human life has really given glory to God. If people only said to Kathy, you're Kathy, and that's it, then they know Kathy. But life has a greater purpose. They should know who Kathy is because of who God is for her. Thirdly, on the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, then we have two things: what we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves in relation to God. And then Jesus gives us this undisputed command. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you till the end of the age. This is Jesus' undisputed command to those who believe in him. The word for this command that Jesus gives is called evangelization. These days, Pope Francis has a newer term for evangelization. He calls it being missionary disciples. Missionary disciples. Folks, Paul tells us that the real meaning of evangelization is that we reveal to the world who God is for us. Just like Jesus revealed to the world that he was Son because he was the Son of the Father. Everyone came to know God the Father because of Jesus. And so for us, everyone should know Jesus because of us. And how? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We know Jesus, and because of Jesus, we reveal God as Father, and we reveal the Holy Spirit as being alive in us. And really, honestly, that is all what evangelization is all about. We don't have to convert people by force. We don't have to compel people to believe in anything. If we can merely reveal to the world who God is and who we are in God, that is evangelization. Just bearing witness. The rest is the work of the Holy Spirit. So in who you are as a family, who you are when you come to church, who you are when you pick up groceries, who you are when we do the normal things of life, let's reveal who God is for us, Father, Son, and Spirit. So let me bring this all to a conclusion. We are here as church to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how we are worshiping God today. But we're doing more than that. As we worship God as Trinity, we are also understanding who the church is. In Christ, we know who God is calling us to be as a community. So, the Father sends the Holy Spirit upon this bread and wine, and it becomes the body and blood of Christ. It's a triune work Father sends the Holy Spirit so that the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. And we receive this body of Christ. And when we receive the body of Christ, it's the Father and the Son and the Spirit that comes to us. We are being called to be Trinity ourselves, because we live in the Trinity. The church today is called to be the body of Christ. The church today, you and I, called to be the presence of the most holy Trinity. And guess what? At the end of it all, it's a great mystery. Really, that's what it is. It's beautiful, yet it's a mystery. People of God said, amen.